I'm going to read a little bit from Canto 10, Chapter 2, the introduction, and then the first of the prayers of the demigods to Krishna in the womb. The chapter introduction begins. As described in this chapter, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead entered the womb of Devaki to kill Kamsa, all the demigods understood that the Lord was living within Devaki's womb, and therefore, in veneration, they offered him the Garbha Stuti prayers. Garbha Stuti. Stuti. This, the prayers within the womb. Paragraph. Kamsa, under the protection of his father-in-law Jarasandha and with the help of demoniac friends alike. So this isn't auspicious like reading names of Krishna and his associates. It has the opposite effect. So you can not pay attention to this, if that's okay. Pralamba, Bhaka, Chanura, Trinavarta, Aghasara, Mushtika, Bana, and Bomasura began oppressing the members of the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, the members of the Yadu dynasty left their homes and sought shelter in other states such as Kuru, Panchala, Kekaya, Shalva, and Vidarbha. Only some of them stayed with Kamsa as nominal friends. Nominal friends means they were friends in name only, but they had to put up a good front that they were his friends. After Kamsa killed the Shada Garbhas, the six sons of Devaki, one after another, Anantadeva entered Devaki's womb and was transferred to the womb of Rohini by the manipulation of Yogamaya, who was following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord himself, who was soon to appear as the eighth son of Devaki, ordered Yogamaya to take birth from the womb of Yashoda Devi. Because Krishna and his potency Yogamaya appeared simultaneously as brother and sister, the world is full of Vaishnavas and Shaktas. Interesting statement, huh? And there is certainly some rivalry between them. Vaishnavas worship the Supreme Lord, whereas the Shaktas, according to their desires, worship Yogamaya in the forms of Durga, Bhadrakali, and Chandika. Following the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya transferred Baladeva Sankarsana, the seventh child of Devaki, from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Because Sankarsana appears in order to increase love of Krishna, he is known as Baladeva. One may take auspicious strength from him to become a devotee of the Lord, and therefore he is also known as Balabhadra. After Yogamaya transferred the seventh child of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within the heart of Vasudeva and transferred himself into the heart of Devaki. Because the Lord was present in her heart, Devaki in her pregnancy continued, as her pregnancy continued, appeared effulgent. Upon seeing this effulgent, Kamsa was full of anxiety, but he could not harm Devaki because of their family relationship. Thus, he began indirectly thinking of Krishna and became fully Krishna conscious. Meanwhile, because of the Lord's presence within the womb of Devaki, all the demigods came to offer the Lord their prayers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, they said, is eternally the Absolute Truth. The Spirit Soul is more important than the gross body, and the Super Soul Paramatma is still more important than the soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolutely independent, and His incarnations are transcendental. The prayers of the demigods glorify and exalt devotees and explain the fate of persons who superficially consider themselves liberated from the conditions of material nature. A devotee is always safe. When a devotee fully surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord, he is completely liberated from the fear of material existence by explaining why the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends. The prayers of the demigods clearly confirm the statement of Bhagavad Gita 4.7. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So if you were a demigod, what would you do? We're not demigods, so we're doing other things. We're marking the floor where people should stand and planning the ways in which the deity will be worshipped tomorrow, and garland makers making garlands and the cooks making preparations and the children playing and all kinds of preparation for Krishna's appearance tomorrow. But if you were a demigod, you would do what the demigods do. They had appealed to Krishna, to the Personality of Godhead, the Lord of Sweta Dweep, Shiradakshay Vishnu, to help and give protection from the maniac kings. And there were a lot of them. Many, many, too many. And so the appeal was, please protect us. Please relieve the burden of the earth of these demoniac kings, which means to annihilate, to kill. And in the killing, Krishna liberates. So that the external looks fierce. But the fact is, although the ending of their life was abrupt, they were liberated, freed from all the reactions of so many bad sinful activities. That's a big burden. That's the fast lane. No, we're taking the safe lane, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra by the association of the Maha Mantra. All the sins accumulated for years together are being effectively neutralized by the sound of the holy name. But now, if that's us as devotees, we don't go to the prison house and offer prayers, but they're offering prayers. I'm going to begin with the first of those prayers, and tomorrow morning we'll continue. This, the first of the prayers, is text 26. I'm going to read 25, and then the first part of 26. 25 reads, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada, Devala, and Vyas, and by other demigods like Indra, Chandra, and Varuna, invisibly approach the room of Devaki, where they all joined in offering their respectful obeisances and prayers to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bestow blessings upon everyone. I just noticed he specifically, Prabhupada is translating that Vyasadeva was also there. Narada, Devala, and Vyasa. Great sages. Narada Adibhi. Munibhi Narada Adibhi. So those are great sages, headed by Narada. So the first prayer reads, there's a lot of satyams here. Satya vratam, satya param, trisatyam, satyasya yonim dihitam chasatye, satyasya satyam rita satya netram, satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapana. We know from the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Satyam Param Dimahi, that the Bhagavatam itself is a meditation upon the Satyam Param, Parasatyam, the Supreme Absolute Truth. So that's here, and the demigods there also extolling the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, namely creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the Supreme Truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, in all the ingredients of creation, and therefore you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone, for all time. You are the beginning of all truth. Therefore, offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. The demigods, their devotees, and they're very exalted and capable and trusted devotees. They're not perfected souls. If they were perfected souls, they'd be in the spiritual world. They also have some interest in the material world, interest in controlling some aspect of the material world. Therefore, they're given bodies and they're given some services corresponding with their interest and their capacities. But their capacity is specifically, it's empowered by Vasudeva. Going back to, this is 10th canto, and it's advised that when we preceding the 10th canto, of course this is just the demigods offering prayers, so there isn't something esoteric about it, but to understand the 10th canto, preliminary understanding of the earlier cantos is recommended or required. The demigods are, there's different sets of different demigods. There's lots of things to say about the demigods. But the, one of the first places the demigods appear is during the, sarga, the principal creation of the cosmic manifestation. Before there is the fullness of the cosmic manifestation, there's the Virat Rupa, the universal form. And the Virat Rupa, although sometimes said to be imaginary, is not imaginary in the sense of just fiction, but imaginary in the sense of temporary. The rising of the universal form from the causal waters takes place only when Vasudeva enters. Vasudeva. No, Vasudeva means the son of Vasudeva. But the Vasudeva, son of Vasudeva principle, appears even before he appears in the womb of Devaki. He appears in the cosmic manifestation as the enlivener of the demigods, so that the demigods, who are controllers of the elements and controllers of the senses that act to interact with the sense objects and so forth. Boys, calm down. Okay? Thank you. They want to, the demigods, in short, the demigods can't perform their function without the presence of Vasudeva. When Vasudeva enters into the Virat Rupa, the Virat Rupa rises and it begins to function. And it's from this Virat Rupa that Brahma forms the universe, following the Virat Rupa, the primary creation, the cosmic manifestation manifest by Lord Vishnu. So Vasudeva appears, we hear in the earlier chapter, chapter 1, he appears in the mind of Vasudeva. Vasudeva also has its various meanings, but one of the important meanings of Vasudeva is pure consciousness, and that's mentioned here. Krishna doesn't appear except where there's pure consciousness. And the demigods don't have that. The father of Krishna, Vasudeva, is more exalted than the demigods. The demigods are coming into the prison house to offer words of praise to the personality of Godhead. Vasudeva, even before he's born, Devaki Nandana and Vasudeva Nandana. And they're honoring him as the absolute truth. So I'll read a little bit the purport. The demigods or devotees know perfectly well that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the true substance, whether within this material world or in the spiritual world. The Srimad Bhagavatam begins therefore with the words, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Satyam Param Dhimahi. Vasudeva, Krishna, is the Param Satyam, the Supreme Truth. The Supreme Truth can be approached or understood by the Supreme Method, as declared by the Supreme Truth. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvataha. Bhakti, devotional service, is the only way to understand the Absolute Truth. For protection, therefore, the demigods surrender to the Supreme Truth, not to the relative truth. There are persons who worship various demigods, but the Supreme Truth Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita, Antavattu palam tesham tadbhavat yopamedasam. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Worship of demigods may be useful for a limited time, but the result is antavat, perishable. This material world is impermanent. The demigods are impermanent, and the benedictions derived from the demigods are also impermanent. Whereas the living entity is eternal. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. Every living entity, therefore, must search for eternal happiness, not temporary happiness. The word satyam pram dhimahi indicate that one should search for the absolute truth, not the relative truth. When offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisimhadev Prahlad Maharaj said, Ba lasya neha sharanam pitarau Nrisimha, na tarasya chagadam udavanti majato now. Generally it is understood that the protectors of a child are his parents, but this is not actually the fact. The real protector is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Personality of Godhead's position is not easy to understand because he is the repository of all existence, and all existence includes even things that are apparently contradictory within the Supreme Lord. All apparently contradictory existences reside within him. There's an example given here because of time and I'm late, I'm not going to go into it all. We'll continue tomorrow. The sky. In the process of creation, in the sarga process of creation, the sky is there, and from the sky comes sound. This is the material sound from the material sky. And then from sound, all other elements manifest. So the primordial material element, or the most subtle of the material element, is the gross material elements, is sky. And the sky, when we think of the sky, it's the big bowl up above the planet Earth, something like that. That's the sky. And we look up in the sky, depends on where you are. Sometimes you'll see stars. If you weren't in a city, you'll see many more stars than you'll see when you're in the city, but they're there. There's the stars in the sky. And it's beyond the atmosphere of the air, but it's the atmosphere of the air is within the sky. And the wind is blowing within the sky. So all things similarly are, as the air is blowing within the sky is the more subtle, everything is resting in the sky. Similarly, everything is resting in Krishna. And the sky is that which everything is resting within, and the sky is also within everything. The sky is within everything, and the sky is outside of everything. And that's a material element. Krishna is the basis and support of everything, not just the sky. He's the basis and support of the material and the spiritual. And he's the basis and support of Brahman, within which the Mahatattva is resting, within which there's so many planets and all the material elements are resting within Brahman, and Brahman is resting within Krishna. So he's like the sky, in which everything is resting, and he is within everything. He's in everything and outside of everything at the same time. So, And the face of such statements, it's quite contradictory. He's inside of everything and outside of everything. If it's going to be this, it can't be that. If it's going to be that, it can't be this, because they're opposites, inside of everything and outside of everything. We're in the temple room, but we're outside the temple room, but we're not simultaneously inside the temple room and outside the temple room. Physically, materially speaking, these are opposites. One contradicts the other. Within Krishna, all contradictions are resolved, because within Krishna is everything. It kind of sounds like, you know, cute double talk, but existentially, that's Krishna's position. Since he is the source of everything, everything has to be within him. And if everything is within him, then even opposites are within him. And he's the resting place of all opposites. So the demigods are understanding that. Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai. And they're expressing that in very eloquent prayers. Now, one of the main points in the conclusion of this first prayer is they're seeking protection. Now, he's the right place to go to seek protection, because he's the rest and the shelter of everything, and he's Bhagavan. He has all strength, and any strength that exists is subordinate to his strength. It's derived from his strength, so he's the source of protection. They're rightly seeking protection from him. They sought protection from him at the shore of the milk ocean, and now they're seeking that same protection from him within the womb of Devaki. He's outside of everything, and he's inside of everything. He's the Supreme Truth, because he's the source of everything. He's within everything and outside of everything simultaneously. It's quite a mystery, but they understand the mystery. They understand the mystery because of their devotion. Because of their devotion, they're oppressed by the demigods, by the demons, and Mother Earth in particular, oppressed by the demons on Earth, and so they're seeking Krishna's protection. And as the chapter unfolds, they're regularly witnessing each of the pastimes of Krishna's killing of demons in Vrindavan. They're there to celebrate, playing on drums and kettle drums and showering flowers and singing praises of Krishna, because he's the upholder of his word. That's what the verse is saying. You never deviate from your vow, which is perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. One of the names of Vasudev, the father of Krishna, is Anaka Dundubi. I just learned this. Anaka and Dundubi mean drums and kettle drums. That's the meaning, Anaka Dundubi. And he was given that name because when he was born, from the sky, there were sounds of drums and kettle drums, audible by everybody. So the name stuck. Honoring a person, he, Vasudev specifically, was being honored even at his appearance by the demigods as one who upholds the truth. We find that as feature of Lord Ramachandra, the personality of Godhead. But here it's the father of the personality of Godhead, Vasudev, is honored for that same characteristic. And here it's being honored by the demigods to Krishna in the same way. As Vasudev Krishna, he keeps his word. He indicated to the demigods he would appear in this world and give protection. And he hasn't done anything yet. He's still within the womb of Devaki. But they're confident of his protection. Even they're confident of his protection. They need not even ask for his protection, but they're asking for his protection. So then Prabhupada is making reference to Prahlad speaking like this. The real protector is the personality of Godhead. Although generally we think otherwise. Generally we think of the instruments, like parents are protectors of their children. And it doesn't mean because Krishna conscious parents know that Krishna is the protector, they don't need to protect their children. They protect their children. But Krishna conscious parenting is to do those activities on behalf of the one who is the real protector. Now that's not an easy task. You have to have pure consciousness to protect in that consciousness. And then you receive the full power of the Supreme Lord to give protection. Now, Vasudev and Devaki were not capable of protecting against Kamsa, because, as they've already experienced, the first six children of Kamsa were killed. Excuse me, the first six children of Vasudeva and Devaki were killed. They couldn't protect. But the eighth child, they will not have to protect. The personality of Godhead will do the protecting because he's the real protector. The next paragraph makes a reference. If neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a child, despite the presence of his parents, will suffer. And a diseased person, despite all medical help, will die in the material world. Whereas there is a struggle for existence, men have invented so many means for protection, but these are useless if the Supreme Personality of Godhead rejects them. Therefore, the demigods purposefully say, Satyatmakam Tvam Sharanam Prapana. Real protection can be obtained from you, O Lord, and therefore we surrender unto you. Is it seeing the Supreme Lord as one's order supplier to ask for his protection? Well, a lot of how you see the Lord depends upon your consciousness. After all, he is the protector. Is it inappropriate for children to turn to their parents, their protectors, and seek protection? It's natural, and it's not inappropriate or unnatural. Just so it's not material, or seeing the Lord as our order supplier to seek his protection. But a lot depends upon the consciousness, because protection from the Supreme Lord may be perceived, what it's supposed to look like, very differently depending upon our consciousness. Like the example the Prabhupada gives of the householder that has some property and they're praying to God to protect their property. And the thief is outside the house praying to God to allow them to steal the property. So both of those are in the state of material consciousness. But the pure consciousness of Vasudeva and Devaki and the very elevated consciousness of the demigods is they're seeking protection from forces that are beyond their capacity to do, that is, to check the influence of the very, very powerful demigods, demons. Because some demons, when they become very powerful, they have the power to overcome even the demigods, but to speak of ordinary people. So the demigods are feeling that vulnerability, and so they're turning to the Supreme Lord for their protection. Now, ultimate protection is not on the material side. Ultimate protection is the protection of our spiritual well-being. And our spiritual well-being may be compromised if our attention goes away from our spiritual well-being to some threat on the material side. And there's all kinds, all around. Even for those, so it's a mixed position, but even those kinds of threats to our well-being, the demigods are seeking protection from the personality of Godhead, knowing that he's the real protector. Now, the demigods are very powerful. They could do battle with these demons, Kamsa and Chanur and Mushtika and so forth and so on. They could do. They're very powerful. But there's many, many, and they're seeking the protection of the personality of Godhead from those personalities and the wicked powers that they represent. And are inflicting suffering on the Yadu dynasty members. The Yadu dynasty members, we just read, they fled out of fear of Kamsa. And they took shelter elsewhere. But so those who oppress the devotees, like the members of the Yadu dynasty, Krishna is going to be there to protect them. Krishna will always be there to protect them. And so, and those that are seeking his protection, he's the infallible. Satya, another satya is this satya sankalpa. It's a nice phrase it's found later in this 10th canto. The personality of Godhead has the power that he simply desires something. And voila, that something happens, that something manifests. That's the personality of Godhead. So he's about to appear, and the demigods are offering their prayers. Later, Devaki says to Vasudeva, "I'm hearing these voices. What are those voices? You think it's possible? Those are demigods? Or have I gone mad? I'm just hearing voices. So, she's mortal, and these are devas, and they're honoring her because of the presence of Vasudev Krishna within her womb. And they're offering prayers to Vasudev Krishna within her womb. And they're also honoring her and all the devotees that are intimately connected to the personality of Godhead. So we'll... I was asked to speak something about preparing for the festival tomorrow. So I kind of went through the back door, I think, from what was intended. But we're anticipating, along with the demigods, Krishna's appearance tomorrow. And it's a different Krishna Janmashtami plan than I've ever experienced in this lifetime. And hopefully it'll be the last time I'll have to. You know, a cyber celebration. But that's the requirement of the circumstance. And sure, there's a very nice plan. I only know parts of the very nice plan. And some of the parts of the very nice plan I won't be able to take part in, because I've been called to give a few classes tomorrow from different parts of the country and the world. So I'm sure I'll get a picture of the plan once it's published. Maybe by now it's published. Well, we certainly won't have to have the car parking problem. There must be some kind of an arrangement or other for some visitors to come and so forth. Let's see how it works. So let's see if there's some discussion.
I don't have the question formulated. On this topic of the demigods acknowledging or praising him, that he is inside of everything and everything is inside him simultaneously. Yet there seems to be some significance in going to a place where the Lord can be seen, possibly.
Yes.
Previously they were to the shore of the Milk Ocean.
Yes.
Right now they are in Devaki's home.
Yeah.
So would you like to speak?
And here is the deity form of the Lord in his home, and there's significance. In the last 3 weeks, this topic has come up, I think, 3 or 4 times. And there's different ways of addressing it. But yes, the Lord is all-pervasive. He's within everything. And yet we find, and there are persons who, by their strength of meditation and by the strength of their devotion, they can see the Lord everywhere. They can see the Lord in their heart, or they can see the Lord everywhere, and yet there's something not exactly the same with that experience as seeing the Lord directly before them in his original form. And that's what's about to happen. In his Swarup, he's going to appear. And there's something very special. Besides knowing that he's in Sri Tadvipa, or knowing that he's in the heart, or knowing that he's within every atom, or knowing that he's within everything material and spiritual, seeing his form, this because you like details, when Narada, after visiting Kamsa and letting him know that Vasudev, you trusted him, but you know what? Vasudev took the eighth child of Devaki and placed him in Gokula. And that's the eighth child of Devaki is the one who was prophesied to kill you. Little secret. But now the secret's out of the box. So you better protect yourself. And he then gave a plan how to protect himself. And after that discussion with Narada and Kamsa, the very next place that Narada went was to go see Krishna. Knowing, and he said to Krishna, by your grace, I know who you are, and I know the sequence of your pastimes. And then he spoke very diplomatically about the qualities of Krishna. You're this, and you're that, and you're this, and you're that. Like what's here? And compliments of our acharyas, they unpack the words that Narada spoke in glorification of Krishna, which is similar to the demigods' words headed by Narada, sages headed by Narada, and so forth, honoring Krishna. The first, the explanation, responsive to your question, the first explanation is the principal characteristic of Krishna, and that is his supremacy, his form as the source of everything, the absolute truth, the form of the source of everything, the absolute truth, his vigraha, the form. And then they say the other characteristics they're describing, they're aspects of that form of the absolute, and therefore they're secondary, resting upon the primary, his spiritual form is primary, and everything else is from that, is resting upon that spiritual form, including this satya sankalpa shakti. That's where that reference comes. He by desiring something, it happens. And it's infallible, because it's all of his shaktis are in the spiritual realm, and they just act, and matter moves because the spiritual potency moves. But it's all resting upon his spiritual form. And he's feeling very honored to be before and seeing the spiritual form. Now, he knew, because he's a pure devotee, he's Narada Muni. Narada Muni is amongst the names specifically mentioned in the verse, Naradadibihi. And they want to see that form. And from that form comes all other things, the protection and everything else, the expansions within the hearts of every living beings. And he's in one place, although he's every place. But every place is resting upon that spiritual form. And there's something very special, not just knowing that there is the spiritual form, being in direct contact with that spiritual form. Being in direct contact with that spiritual form just by seeing, what to speak of being touched by, what to speak of being embraced by. There's something special, the spiritual form of the Lord. You have something? Oh, you have something. Okay.
Hare Krishna. I found it interesting that, as you mentioned, Brahma and Narada, Narada and all the other demigods here offering prayers to praise the personality of Godhead.
Yeah.
To indicate they are aware of his identity.
Yeah.
And interestingly, later on we see Brahma, Indra, even become confused. Here they appear for his descent, and later on something happens.
His Braja Leela are bewildering, even to Brahma. You have something? Go ahead.
One other thing. Prabhupada mentions how it's impossible for those in the mode of passion and ignorance to understand the personality of Godhead. He said even those in the mode of goodness, the demigods, can't understand, what to speak of ordinary human beings. Recently I was kind of interfacing with some of the Baha'i
community. Nice.
So on the one hand are very broad-minded, yet they have this material conception of Krishna. So it's a little, you know, delicate how to share in a respectful yet firm way, you know, in terms of Prabhupada's mood, Prabhupada's instruction that the greatest disservice to humanity is to misrepresent Krishna's position.
Well, Prabhupada goes further. They want to kill Krishna. They don't say, I want to kill Krishna. But directly or indirectly. Do they accept Bhagavad Gita? They have their own idea of what it's saying, but they accept Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Yeah, navigating that territory depends. It's we have to have qualification to speak like Prabhupada spoke. Time, place, and circumstance. Is there anything online?
There's a couple of questions online.
Okay.
The first one's from Sanchari Mataji. Is there any significance to Krishna appearing on an Ashtami?
I'm not sure what she means by that. It's his appearance day. The eighth day after the after Balaram appears, is there some significance? Well, Balaram's the elder brother, but, you know, he could appear in the Navami. I mean, I don't know if there's some significance if it's which day in the lunar calendar he appears. But it's, he likes that day, so he appears. There may be some astrological significance that I'm unaware of. Go ahead.
This is from Amar Mataji. Krishna's protection is spiritual, not material. Does it mean that he protects our faith in his protection?
Yeah.
From going down.
Yes, that's his protection. Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki Jai.